This week on Full Credit to the Boys, we look back on bus rides with Brian Fletcher. Nate Miles tells us about getting punched in the face. And we speak to the great Adam Gilchrist. Welcome to Full Credit to the Boys. Well, hello, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, and welcome to Full Credit to the Boys. You can find us on Twitter at FCTTB_podcast. I am former legend at former_legend. Across from me in a matching pair of blue stubbies and blue truckie singlet is at Sid Punts, all one word.
Good evening.
Big day behind the wheel.
Yeah, big day. You know how hard I work.
And missing in action, last heard. Well, what can I say? Flogging himself on a treadmill.
He was.
And that's not jail talk.
No, that's a true story.
Yeah, he's been fat shamed and away he travels.
He was a bit dirty, wasn't he?
Yeah, yeah. And,
we probably shouldn't have shown that photo of him on the big screen.
He's not talked to us much, to be honest.
No.
But anyway, here you go, mate. What's the news?
Mate, I'm very excited for this evening's podcast.
Why? What's going on?
Biggest celebrity I've ever interviewed.
Oh, hello to Vonnie, if she's listening.
Yeah, sorry to all you other people that we've interviewed, but this is one of my all-time favourite sportsmen.
Well, it's not every day you get to talk to a world-famous sports star who not only was a champion, but changed the way the game was played forever.
Yes, definitely.
Well, I guess you do, Sid, because you get to talk to me, but I don't.
Yeah, it's different for you.
But this bloke not only changed cricket forever, but he's one of the world's great blokes. So much so, Sid, that you were telling me before that if you came home and he was in bed with Mrs. Sid, you'd tell him to come down and have a beer when he was finished.
Yeah, I'd probably only interrupt him to say, can you sign me a cricket bat or something? I wouldn't be mad at all.
And before we chat to him, you can find him on Twitter at Gilly381, Instagram at Gilly381. He's one of the commentators of Channel 10's Big Bash. He's one of the world's all-time great blokes. Welcome, Adam Gilchrist.
Full credit to the boys.
Hello, mate.
G'day, guys. How are you? Good to catch up.
So, I was telling Sid before, your good wife, Mel, pretty much I stole a tweet from her about Alex Lloyd a couple of weeks ago. What's more disturbing, that she thinks like me or I think like her?
Yeah, I don't know. Well, it wasn't a tweet from her because she's not on Twitter herself, but she feeds me all my lines. But no, that comment about Alex Lloyd, I think it was Brownlow, wasn't
yeah.
it? He was
yeah,
punching
it was.
Out a number.
Yeah. He was punching a few brown notes.
Battling away at it. He was trying his best, wasn't he? It was a bit, it was amazing. I in touch with you, saw your tweet, and it was extraordinary, the similarities in thinking between the two of you. So it is a bit frightening. It is a bit
real concern.
If she's got any more good stuff, can she just send it through to me and I'll use it? Mate, we spoke earlier this week and I said to you that this is going to be a light and fun interview, and we're not into catching blokes out or trying to make any headlines, so I'll start with a nice and easy one. What's the go with Shane Warne's head?
it's evolved. It's something that even Warnie admits that there's been a few subtle changes. Obviously, the hair program that continues to produce many different styles, and then I think he put the rest of it down to Liz's moisturizers, wasn't it? Oh, is that right?
That should be
Elizabeth.
That
sorry.
Should be selling through the roof or never sell again. I'm not sure.
Yeah. But no, that's Warnie just keeps us guessing with everything, doesn't he? He's quality.
Well, let's start back from the beginning and Sid.
Yeah. Well, you were born in New South Wales in Bellingen, which I believe, before you came along, was known as the home of George Negus. And after after a couple of seasons with the Blues, you moved to WA for a chance and replaced Tim Zura, the great wicketkeeper over there.
Ziggy.
Tell us about the kid in the crowd when you made your debut over there that waved at you while you were out in the field.
Yeah, I will. But just quickly, back on Bellingen, you're spot on. You know your stuff, you blokes. I think it was the Bradman Foundation or one of the cricketing sort of foundations offered the birth town or city of of every Test cricket captain that is captain Australia, the opportunity to have a bronze bust, created and placed in the sort of the civic centre of the town, in the town park, really. It was in Bellingen. They agreed to have it done. So because I jagged a couple of Tests as captain, and we went up there. I went up there with Mum and Dad just for the unveiling of it, and we're all sitting there. The Lord Mayor was there. The whole town was there, really, all about 60 of them, and they're all sort of crowded around. The favourite son returned, and I knew that we hadn't been there long. I was born there, and I knew that it wasn't a large part of my life that I'd been there. I thought it was about, 18 months, 2 years or something. And then we moved down into the Southern Riverina. But I was just being introduced by the mayor. I turned to Mum. I said, Mum, just remind me before I speak exactly how long did we live here? 6 weeks. 6 weeks. So, anyway, I punched out wholeheartedly a heartfelt speech about, so good to be back and thank you for welcoming me.
The town that made you.
But that was Bellingen. That was Bellingen for me. But the story in Perth, you're right, came over, took the place of Tim Zura. It all happened very quickly. I didn't know I was going to go straight into the team, but the selectors obviously felt that Timmy's time was up. The WA public obviously didn't think it was right that an unknown kid from New South Wales replaces WA legend. So they hammered me on the crowd, on the field. And I was getting booed everywhere. And then eventually I took a pretty good catch down the leg side in about my third game in a one day, and stood up, and a little kid was waving to me and yelling out my name, and I sort of had that flashback when I did that to Rod Marsh at the SCG. Stood there, Rodney, and waved, and he waved back to me. And I went home that night, like, certain that that was my destiny now. I'd had that connection with the Aussie keeper. So there's this little kid waving to me, Gilchrist. And I've sort of dusted myself off, waved to him, thought, brilliant, I finally won him over. And I waved and he yelled out, Gilchrist, go home. So I hadn't quite got there. Well, I hadn't achieved what I really wanted, but it took a bit of time to win him over here. But geez, I'm born and bred here now. I've spent more time here than I have in Bellingen.
You mentioned that you did captain Australia. Can you settle a bet for me with an Indian friend of mine? You captained Australia when we won a series in India. Is that correct?
That's right. That might have even been the last time we won a test in India, let alone series.
It seems like
That was the 04 tour where we after 34 years of trying, we finally got there. And I dine out on the fact that it was all my captainship, but it was a culmination of our group, probably three, four years of going to the subcontinent trying to work it out.
They tell me that in that game, you said you won because of your captaincy, and the rest of the team said they won in spite of your captaincy. So.
That's probably right. The bowlers made a bowl them into the ground. Fine leg to fine leg. We decided we'd go in there in the first over with McGrath. We had one slip. We had a catch and cover, a catch and mid-wicket, a bloke out on the deep sweeping on the leg side. And
Pidge would have done that pretty well.
They had to swallow their pride, but it worked beautifully. They bowled straight at the stumps. LBW, thank you very much.
Stroke of genius.
We won that. So that's a four-test series.
Yeah.
We won the first one. Then the second one, an evenly matched game going into day five, then it just poured rain and was a washout. So go to the third test and we win that. So 2-0 series victory. The last test match in Mumbai, punter finally gets fit and comes back and captains, and we get smashed in 2 days. So there you go.
No coincidence.
And he held the trophy up before you, didn't he?
He certainly did. Yeah.
Hey, Gilly, we were going through your one-day stats once again, courtesy of our friends at Wikipedia. And you've pretty much got 50s and 100s against every team playing the game, especially in the one-day form of the game. But one thing we did notice is your highest score against Namibia is 13. Gilly, when you go to bed at night, has it haunted you that you might be Namibia's bunny?
Oh, mate, if Namibia, well, I think...
Traditional
look,
rivals.
I think Potchefstroom, the major capital of
bless you.
Of South Africa. But thank you. What's probably more concerning is... Yeah, you're right. I probably am Namibia's bunny, but more concerning was at the Commonwealth Games in 1998, we played Canada. And we knocked them over for about 52 and went out there and knocked the runs off. Well, Junior knocked the runs off and punted because I was out in about the third over. I remember lining up for some lunch and the Canadian captain saying, "This is embarrassing. The lunch line's taking longer than the actual match took." But, and as I laughed, he said, "Yeah, but we got you out, didn't we?" So, mate, all the minor nations, I won't call them minnows because that's disrespectful, but, yeah, they had my number easily.
I'm just going to tweet something out about Namibia's bunny now, Gilly. If you can retweet it.
Mel's probably already done it, mate.
From your account.
Now, depending on who you talk to, you redefine the game. You're famous for a lot of things. But your decision to walk when you knew you were out is either one of your greatest or craziest legacies. Tell us about when you walked in the 2003 World Cup Games.
Yeah, that's nice saying I redefined the game, the role of a wicketkeeper. Peter Neville's pretty happy with me at the moment, isn't he? So
yeah.
I haven't had much contact from him. But
yeah, that's my question coming up soon. But anyway.
Yeah. Walking in 2003.
It became a bigger story than the World Cup itself, Gilly.
Yeah.
Mate, it's unbelievable. It's a story that keeps on giving and being talked about. But it wasn't something that I woke up that morning and went, pack my jock strap, get the gear, make sure that's there, got the helmet, keeping gloves. Oh yeah, that's right. I must walk today. I must make sure that I make a stand. That innings finally in that World Cup felt like I was absolutely flying. I reckon I got off the mark with a six, hit the ball right out of the screws. Sort of, was it one of those shots that reminds you why you play the game? Because not every ball comes right out exactly how you want to hit it. But I was feeling really comfortable. But that probably caught me by surprise, that whole sort of scenario and my reaction. But in the back of my mind, when I stopped and reflected on it, it was around the time when there was, for the first time, they were starting to review decisions. When blokes hit it to cover and a bloke dies for the close catch and
Michael Slater.
And no one knows if it's been, yeah, slacks over in India and all those things. And I reckon there was a few, there's a little bit more accountability and responsibility that the players could have taken, both, you know, in my team and against us and little things like that. And started, we beat up on the umpires pretty consistently. We can easily apportion a loss to a bad umpiring decision.
Mm.
But we never, when we get a good one, good decision go away and we win, we don't go in there and say, geez, umps, well done, top decision. So,
got us over the
in line. Amongst all that, bit of accountability for players. And I think, as a general rule, I was always a walker. And I think there's a lot more walkers out there, or there were, than got credited for it. It's just that happened to be a World Cup semi-final. But I often ask myself now what I do I thought this DRS would clean up, you know, the scenario and the uncertainty of walking. I thought
there's been some howlers, hasn't there?
But geez, they still hang around, don't they? Yeah. What the other day in the test, that who was it, Amler or someone reviewed one after being given out caught behind, reviewed it and he belted it.
Caught in third slip. Hey, I was looking through some old videos, Gilly, before we get on to the next bit we're talking about. Do you remember a time when one came off your thigh pad, Ganguly took it, actually didn't take it, it bounced before him, but he still carried on like a real good sort? And do you remember your sledge to him?
Oh, not really. World Cup final it was. It was of that 03. I know, I could picture it. And I remember looking at him, sort of saying something along the lines, "Are you serious?" But what did I say?
I think you said something along the lines of, "It's an easy game on TV," after they showed the replay. First of all, coming off your thigh pad, and second of all, bouncing in front of him.
Yeah. Oh, what cutting remarks from Gilchrist. Yeah, clever, cute, right on the money.
Sat him right on his ass, he did.
You also redefined the sledge.
Yeah, how not to do it.
Gentle sledging. Hey, speaking of walking as we were, what's it like for Adam Gilchrist to walk down the main streets of somewhere like Cricket Mad Calcutta?
Yeah, I think anyone that's played cricket goes to India, they're going to know you. It doesn't matter what level. They love it. They really love it, and whenever an international cricketer's feeling a bit down and out and needs an ego boost, just fly into India. You walk out of there, just they're all over it, but very passionate. I love India. I've always loved going there. It absolutely wears you down by the end of a tour there because it's just so intense, but it's a pretty good life experience.
Mm. Well, speaking of an ego boost, if you can tweet out to all your Indian followers that you've appeared on this podcast, that'd be great for us.
Well, absolutely. I don't know how much of the rugby league referencing in throughout the life of you blokes lead they'll pick up on, but we'll give it a crack.
Yeah. Hey, Gilly, just on that, did you follow rugby league at any stage growing up in New South Wales, or are you an AFL man? Or?
Oh, I'm a Sharks man, mate. Hey.
We'll end it there, thanks. We'll end it there, Gilly. Thanks for your time. And
no, we before going and spending that lengthy stint in Bellingen, my old man was lived in the Shire, and a couple of my siblings were born in the Shire, so we were genuinely Cronulla fans from way back. That's where I latched onto. But
have you got a neck tat of the Southern Cross?
No. We're having lived in Perth for 20 odd years, it's sort of a bit tougher to follow the league over here as close with the AFL. So it might be a little while before I wait for my AFL premiership from Carlton, who I've been supporting since the same age as when I supported Cronulla.
Well, you looked all right. Looked all right when Judd landed there, but then it sort of all dried up pretty quick.
Yeah, promising signs last year or the season just gone. But
good coach. Good coach.
Yes, they like him, don't they? There's a lot of those sort of those types floating around over here with the West Coast, and they're all Clarko disciples, aren't they?
Yeah, they're all from his prodigy, aren't they?
Normie would love the fact that we stopped Gilly talking about Cronulla so we could talk about AFL. He loves Cronulla and hates AFL.
Oh, right.
Now, Gilly, a lot of our listeners, to full credit to the boys, will know that I was St. George, Georges River Penshurst, wicket keeper of the year, under 12s. So I'm a bit of an expert on keeping.
Strong field that year, but.
Strong field. But since we've got you on the show, I thought I'd get your opinion on the situation we kind of touched on before, where the Australian team has dropped Neville as the Aussie keeper for Wade, who most people regard as an inferior gloveman in the hope that we'll score some more runs. Do you think this is a wise decision?
I thought of all the changes that were made in the after the Hobart disaster, I thought Neville was hardest done by. He was a bloke that, as far as I could see, I haven't spoken at length to anyone really about, like, by way of selectors or tried to get, you know, the real inside information. But on face value, it looked like he was the victim of a batting order above him that just wasn't firing. That
so
was
have
just,
you?
Had been pretty ordinary for some time, really. And, he got 20-odd and 60, I think in Perth, the test before. And then
he got 100.
Wasn't Robinson Crusoe and missing out in Hobart, so and he's keeping.
Yeah, 179 he got.
But big deal. Have a look how many Rod Marsh, Ian Healy, and I missed. Well, the first two names, how many they missed in their first 10 or 15 tests, and then where they went. I missed them pretty consistently throughout my careers. But I thought it was a tough call. That's not taking anything away from Wadey.
He
put in a solid performance. Really solid performance with the gloves the other day. I believe he's much improved, but I thought Neville was pretty hard done by on that one.
So have you rung and apologised to him? Because you've created this mess.
I have. Well, I was trying. Yeah, I'd say I was trying to get him, but he was out batting in Hobart, doing 170 not out in a Shield game.
They couldn't get him out. just on that, and I don't know if there's a bit of division with old cricketers and loyalties or whatever, but Stewie McGill tweeted out when Wade missed, I think he let through some buys or something, but Stewie McGill was straight on to Twitter, and he tweeted, "That's what you get when you don't pick a wicket keeper. Hashtag backstop."
Now, wow.
Now that's a little bit hectic for me, but...
I'm glad Twitter wasn't around when I was playing. that's when McGiller was bowling. That was,
Is he an angry ant, Gilly?
McGiller is very angry ant. Yeah, no doubt about that. He won't mind me saying that. He self-confessed. I always thoroughly enjoyed being around McGiller because he's actually so well-read. He loves reading. And he's a very, very intelligent bloke. And I learnt a lot just being around McGiller. But he's a much deeper thinker of the game than what people might give credit to. But I found him a terrific guy to be around, but he can be ultra aggressive and outspoken at times. Occasionally, I reckon he sits back and thinks, "Did I say that? Or should I have said that?" But not often. He's pretty straight shooter, says it how he feels it.
I usually say, "Did I tweet that?" But anyway,
yeah.
Now we'll lighten this up a little bit. We have a thing we do called porn star or athlete. I'm going to give you a list of names. Sid's going to keep score. The clubhouse leader is 9 out of 20, Gilly. So you haven't got much to beat. We'll cross the bridge as to if you get a perfect score, what that actually means about you and porn when we come
can
to
you
it.
Can you tell me who the clubhouse leader is?
Believe it or not, it's Sid's missus.
It's a bit awkward. We ran this by her this afternoon and she brained it.
Oh, brilliant.
And she doesn't know sports stars real well.
Hate sport.
So play the jingle. Play the jingle and we'll get into this segment.
Let's play the jingle.
Is it a porn star or is it an athlete?
Yeah.
Now, you probably heard that and feeling a little bit amorous anyway, Gilly, so you'd be right in the mood for this.
That's one of your best, that one.
All right, Sid's going to keep score. I'm going to give you the names. We'll start with the first one. Nice, easy one, right in the hitting zone for you. Dave Hardman.
Dave Hardman?
Yeah.
Dave... I'm Jesus, I'm all nervous. I'm getting giggly now because so I've got to say, it's a sports person or a porn star?
Correct.
Sports person.
Dave Hardman was the 2002 AVN Award nominee for most outrageous sex scene in The Babysitter 5.
Oh, ba-boom. Unreal. The Hardman. Of course.
You'll probably get this one then. You'll probably get this one. Chubby Cox.
Oh, I'm definitely going sport.
He's a former NBA basketballer for the Philadelphia Kings.
Yeah.
Bing!
Yeah, thank you.
Rusty Kuntz.
Yeah, baseballer. I know him.
Bing! Oh, all right. Norman Conquest.
Pretty sure. I don't remember what particular film it was, but I've seen him, porn star.
Former Aussie soccer goalie. Then again, back in the day he might have had a film out, who's to say?
Yeah, that's right.
There wasn't much money back then in soccer.
Seth Gamble and Dimitri Long.
Sound like a dynamic duo of some sort. I'm just going to go for sportsmen.
Seth Gamble and Dimitri Long are the same bloke. They were the best actor in Grease XXX.
Oh, Grease XXX, did you say?
Don't Google that yet. Wait until after the show.
Yeah, nobody at home Google any of
that. Grease's credit rating at the moment, is it?
What about Johnny Mustache?
Yeah. Jeez. Making it tough here. Making it very tough. It's Movember, isn't it? I'm going to go Sportsman.
He's the Seychelles soccer captain. Well done.
Bing. Yeah, yeah.
Alexis Texas.
Porn star.
And said with some confidence, I've got to say.
Yeah. Bing! No doubt about that one.
Alexis Texas won an award for best group sex scene in Butt Woman versus Slut Woman. Not a bad watch. Tiger Tyson.
Golfer, wouldn't he?
Golfer who can box.
Nah. Film star, definitely.
Bang.
Yeah.
Bing. I'm a bit disturbed because he won an AVN for gay porn in 2008.
Okay. That's fine.
Not that we know what an AVN is.
Not there's anything wrong with that.
No.
Destiny Hooker.
I'm going to say an American sports person.
Good man. She's the USA Ladies Volleyball Olympian. Well played.
Yeah.
Killing
it. All right, here comes the three dicks. Dick Paradise.
Say that again.
Dick Paradise.
Sport.
Bang, he's a US ice hockey player. What score check here, Sid?
Oh, he's killing it.
He's on 7. Dick Felt.
What a great name. I don't care who he is. That's tough.
Is that with the mother's maiden name and the pet? definitely movie star, definitely porn.
Former NFL player for the Boston Patriots.
Bow-bow.
Oh,
Johnny Dickshot.
Yeah, without doubt, sport.
Oh, it is too.
It is.
Former baseballer for the Pirates.
I was going to confidently back it up with ice hockey player, but I'm glad I didn't.
How is he not a household name?
Michael Soldier.
That is an award-winning actor.
Bang. Yeah. He's an award-winning actor for gay porn show A Porn Star Is Born.
Yeah.
Not a bad watch.
Is there a common theme here with my correct answers?
we won't break it down.
Right.
We'll just say you got all the sports ones right.
Virginia Thrasher.
Virginia Thrasher. Yep. Porn.
Air rifle and 3-position rifle USA Olympian.
Wow.
Here comes my favorite. Dawana Boner.
That's sport. I know that.
This is disturbing. She is a WNBA player for the Mercury Heat. Well played.
Well done.
Yep. I've seen her play, actually.
I've used her name quite often.
Former legend has seen a lot of these play.
What about Buck Angel?
Baseball coach?
Good throw off.
In 2010, he was nominated for Best Transsexual Performer of the Year. All right, 4 to go. David Seaman.
I did think he coached a little league team. maybe I shouldn't have gone with the little part. Maybe the league team.
And funnily enough,
come on, hurry up. I want to know my total.
That's who Warnie's starting to look like, too. David Seaman.
Ah, yeah. Easy. Straight out of the goal of Arsenal.
No, Chelsea, but I'll give you the point.
Chelsea still. Bing.
Hey. David Seaman. Arsenal, mate. Gunners.
Arsenal, is that a porn name?
It could be. And the heavy Arsenal artillery.
This is Sid's favourite. Ivana Mandic.
Sport, definitely.
WNBA for Charlotte.
Bing!
Yep.
All right, 2 to go. Herschel Savage. Not Herschel Gibbs, Herschel Savage.
Yeah, he certainly comes to mind when you hear that, don't you? Sportsman.
2000 and... Year 2000, AVN Award winner for most outrageous sex scene, Perverted Stories 22. Have you seen Perverted Stories 22, Gilly?
I missed that one, no. No, yeah. What year was it?
2000. They were still hairy then.
Yeah, still I think we were touring. Where were we then? Somewhere. Subcontinent or something.
Year 2000, still some grass on the pitch. Yes. And finally, Kendra Lust.
The Big Finish. It is sport.
Star of 195 sex films and recent 2016 MILF Performer of the Year.
But we have a new leader.
New clubhouse leader.
Oh, you beauty. You beauty.
With a cracking score of 12.
Well, that's 12. Tough to beat. That is going to take me getting that.
You've got to know your porn to get past 12.
Oh, what an honour.
We're going to do a breakdown and find out whether you got more porn right or more sport right, Gilly.
I'll look forward to the Twitter update.
Yeah. Couple more questions, Gilly, and then we'll head off into the sunset with our set of six. Big Bash League 2006 is about to commence, and well, to be quite honest, mate, it's quickly becoming Australia's favourite form of cricket to watch over the summer. You blokes look like you're absolutely killing it and having a great time in the box. But surely that's just good acting when you've got blokes like Flem and Kevin Peterson in the box.
No, oh, well, mate, Kevin Peterson, thankfully, most of the time he's out on the field, so we don't have to sit next to him and talk, but occasionally we let him into the box. He's good entertainment out in the field. He loves it, doesn't he? He's insightful, and he's still skillful enough to pull it all off on the field and then loves talking, so we just let him go for it, and it's entertaining, but... he's brilliant. I reckon he's a great addition. He's brought a whole new dimension to the broadcast for us. But you're right, Flemmo, he's not bad. He tries to play the funny man all the time. Punter's insightful with his tactics.
Punter's been a bit of a revelation, to be honest.
I love Punter. Yeah, I love him.
Yeah, he was painted as Captain Grumpy, but he's very good on that. Very good.
Yeah. I'm glad to hear that. I think... When we all sort of were getting in touch with each other saying, are you in? Who's going to... You know, it's a bit of a new frontier for us. And Channel 10 had never done cricket before. So, but when we all agreed, one of the things I was really looking forward to was exactly that, the Aussie public really getting to know Punter's personality.
Yeah.
He's got a great sense of humour. He always was a cheeky little rat bag. And then with Australian captaincy for a long period of time, I think you do have to get the sort of force field up a little bit. And by the end of it, he looked like an angry unit, didn't he? But he's not that. He's got a great cricket mind. He's a top bloke. He's a really, really good fella, and he's got a great sense of humour. So I'm glad that the Aussie public have managed to get to see that. Keep an eye out this year too for Andrew Symonds. He's going to visit the box a few times, and I think a lot of people will enjoy getting to know him a little bit more than what they may perceive him to be like.
Will he be sober?
We're not sure on that. We can't guarantee it. But you know that as long as he doesn't that night in Cardiff, there was a brilliant scenario where we finished a test where we played the West Indies, and Roy got Brian Lara to sign Simo's test shirt. He said, "Oh, Brian, can you sign this?" And Brian got it and wrote to Simo and sort of sat there. And when you're trying to sign these things, particularly for fellow peers, fellow teammates or opposition, you've got always churning to come up with the wittiest comment rather than just best wishes or great playing against you. And Brian Lara writes, "To Simo, I love Cardiff too." And just had about to him. Simo reckons he was unlucky that night. He got locked in. You had a lock in at the pub with the Republican.
Of course,
Simo reckons.
Hey, just quickly on Brian Lara, is it true he used to commentate as he played and give you tips as you were making field changes and the like?
Yeah, well, I don't know if he did a lot, but he did it one day when I was keeping up over the stumps in Trinidad in a one day keeping to Ian Harvey. And he hit a ball through sort of backward point and punter brought mid-wicket over in to bolster up that backward point region. And just as he was running across, the fieldsman was running across, I heard Brian say, mistake. And I sort of said, what? What are you got? So you're setting the field now, are you? And he goes, oh, no, no, I just reckon it's a mistake. And, of course, Harves bowls it a little bit wider of off because he's got the bolstered offside field. And Lara just wrist flicks it from outside off through mid-wicket, straight where the vacant fielding position was. So, yeah, it was good. It was good.
Hey, I'll tell you a quick Brian Lara story. We were on a change. Might have been a change of innings overnight at the SCG test. Walsh's last game in Australia, maybe, but there was a bunch of new bowlers anyway. The new West Indian bowler was measuring the run up. Brian was staring in first slip. The crowd was still shuffling in. You can sort of, that's that time of the morning where you can still hear people talking across the way in different stands and stuff. Anyway, just as this bloke was about to bowl the first ball of the morning, some bloke from about Bay 13 actually yells out, bowler's name, and Brian Lara turned around and could not stop laughing.
Oh, that doesn't surprise me. He has got a good sense of humour to do that, boy. brilliant.
You wrote a book after you finished cricket called True Colours, which, in my humble opinion, as a former wicketkeeper, was the best cricket book since How to Hypnotise Chooks by Tangles.
Thank you.
On reflection, do you regret not using the opportunity to bag your old teammates, much like seems to be the current trend? And what do you make of all this Michael Clarke stuff?
They're certainly wanting to reveal all, aren't they, the boys with the books at the minute? It's going to be tough to know who sells the most, given that about 10 books have been released in the space of about 10 days. But it's a shame. They're not the first people to reveal a few things in a book and create some headlines. But all I can talk about was mine. I hope I didn't drag anyone under a bus or open up a whole sort of new change room insight that I didn't particularly think or anyone else felt needed to be open. I tried to look more insular at myself and what I was like and revealed to everyone how I was thinking and what was going on in my mind. But, it's been pretty full on, hasn't it?
Do you think
books coming out?
Do you think people are being too precious because it's easy to have a go at Michael Clarke because he wasn't the most popular guy when he came onto the scene.
What's he like, Gilly? What's Michael Clarke like?
I always found Michael Clarke to be a fantastic guy. I've got on really well with him. Never had an issue with him. I played 4 years.
Except for Chapter 3. Chapter 3 wasn't.
Sorry. Nah, he's a guy that, as you said, when he came on the scene, people either liked him or didn't like him, and by the end of it, it seemed like to be the same case. You know, he had some supporters, and he had a lot of people knocking him too. But I don't know why that is. I cannot tell you. But I never found him an issue at all, and get on really well with him.
I remember actually meeting you guys, the Australian team, in at the Rocks one day, and it seemed like at that time there was a bit of a split around the room. There were certain factions around the room with certain players. Is that a common occurrence when you hit the top level like that?
Oh, geez, mate, I'd be surprised if it's an interesting observation because I don't remember. I reckon in 2005 was the first time our sort of group or era, our batch of players that were there for most of it, started to have a few little fractures appear.
Okay.
And we went away from that tour and then got it all back together, obviously, by the time England came back out, and I think it all finished very well. But that was probably the only time I felt like we were splintering off a little bit on what was a really tight team unit. Just regardless of who has said all this stuff coming out in the recent past about the last sort of 4, 5, 6 years of T20 Test cricket for Australia. I don't remember any times like that, you know, about the whole stuff going on in India and that homework gate and all that stuff. I don't remember. It was just good fun. Yeah. I mean, there was some tough times here and there, but yeah, that's interesting that back then you felt that. I certainly don't remember it like that.
Hey, Gilly, I noticed a tweet the other day. I really love this, actually. Tim Cahill scored a goal in the A-League, and you tweeted out amongst a million of us. Tim Cahill, I like watching sport no matter how, if it's played at the top level, Tim Cahill's probably the best we've ever seen. But what sports do you get into? And as a commentator, would you be up for commentating on other sports, or would you, or is the comfort of cricket where it sort of stops?
Oh, I love all sport, and I'd happily watch and all different sports all day if time permitted. But I mean, that was a cracking event, that one, wasn't it? Yeah. And I loved just observing the sports broadcasting side of it, and around that question. Simon Hill, I reckon, is outstanding in building up and setting a scene, building up the match, getting you as a viewer along and absolutely engaged in what is about to come and the suspenseful side of it. So on channels, you go across the various networks, different sporting codes, there's just brilliant orators and tacticians and guys that articulate it well. Obviously, McAvaney and Cometti, and then, the way Peter Sterling used to read a game and just sort of the freeze it there, Ray, line, he could do that first look, didn't need the benefit of the replay. So I'm really intrigued by this sports broadcasting side of it. Having never necessarily sat down and had this huge desire to get into it, but I've sort of fallen into it in the Big Bash. I really enjoy that side of it and the hosting and to get into other sports, I'd always be open for that. Of course, you've got to. I did a little bit around the Formula One with Channel 10 earlier this year, and we'll do another bit in the Melbourne Grand Prix next year, which is just an unreal event. But of course, as far as commentating, it'd probably be more steering the experts into it rather than giving an expert opinion, because when it comes to driving fast, I'm a pretty good wicketkeeper.
Hey, we'll finish up. We do a thing called the set of six. We ask the same six questions. It's a massively imaginative title for a segment on a rugby league show. If you don't mind, what's your most embarrassing track on your iPod, Gilly?
It'd be something from one of the Indian soundtracks that I suddenly thought I was turning Hindu on one of the tours that does that to you. So I sort of replay it now, and it's
did Brett Lee sing on that one?
One of the boys. It might have been, that was it. Yeah, that was Brett Lee's song. That's right.
After
yeah,
six,
I knew
it
was some Indian theme on there.
What about three guests, alive or dead, at a dinner party?
Damien Fleming. Unfortunately, I've got to admit that. He can turn up alive or dead. I don't really make that difference. He's out and out one of the most entertaining, fun blokes ever come across. Who else? Gee, I've never been good at these ones. I'd be intriguing. Matt Damon. I reckon he's an interesting dude, good actor. We need some female company. So
Warning.
They will be. Who was the third porn star that I named earlier in the show? We'll go with her.
It was Michael Soldier.
All right, we'll get you out of that one. What about three things you'd take on a deserted island?
Oh, nowadays, you'd probably take a phone, but there's probably not a coverage out there, is there? So,
and a charger, and a charger.
And a generator, and fuel.
God, you guys, these are tough questions. I do like that other game.
Hard hitting.
Hard hitting. We'll do a book.
Won't ask
probably not one. Not a cricket book.
Not Michael Clark's
book. Michael Clark.
We'll go with radio to listen to the sport.
Good one.
And definitely a cold beer.
Yeah, clever.
Hang on, I'll just grab one now.
Yeah.
Well, I reckon you might have already answered this. If there was a movie about Adam Gilchrist, who plays the role of Adam Gilchrist? Matt Damon.
Let's go with the demon. You need someone like Peter Rosethorn just to get someone even remotely close to having the same ears as me.
You don't have to be that humble. We've done this before. I put former legend on Arnold Schwarzenegger, but he put me on Danny DeVito. Who is the most famous person in your phone?
Matt Damon.
Oh, he'll be so disappointed if I didn't say it. I know he'd be disappointed, so I'm going to say it. Is because it would really upset him. Shane Warne.
Yeah.
Nice.
I thought you were going to say Fleming again.
Finally, who will be? What will be written on Adam Gilchrist's tombstone?
Bellingen legend.
Yeah, that's right. Born and bred in Bellingen.
Porn expert. Yeah.
On the tombstone, we'll say RIP and PS. He can never drop another one. That's a bit like, you feel a bit like that when you retire. You can never drop another catch. Never get another duck.
Before we go. Let me just throw a few names at you. I just want your first reaction to them. Sourav Ganguly.
Tough leader.
Mm. Andrew Flintoff.
Nightmares.
Kevin Peterson.
The original Big Show.
Australia.
Sensational.
Billy Birmingham.
Oh, got him.
Ricky Ponting.
Legend.
Sachin.
The best.
Brian Lara.
The best entertainer.
Billy Bowden. Speaking of entertainers.
Oh, he's a unique man.
Nick Kyrgios.
We'll just leave it at that, I reckon.
That's what a lot of people say when we ask them that one. Yeah. Very diplomatic.
Yeah.
Well, Gilly, we'll end it there, mate. We appreciate your time so much. On a personal level, going back through your stuff last night, I watched your 149 against Pakistan in Hobart. You and Langer just did the absolute impossible and won the test, and it brought back so many good memories, and what a cracking innings from you two. So on behalf of Australia, just on that alone, mate, thank you very, very much. You've entertained us over the years, and we've enjoyed every bit of it.
Pleasure, lads. Fantastic to talk to you. Love your work. Love you keeping us entertained as well. And something's just come to mind just in signing off, going back onto the sport versus porn star questionnaire. And I mentioned about the old days of, what was it, first pet's name and mother's maiden name. Yes. So it's Adam Gilchrist, a.k.a. Wussy Parker, signing off.
I don't think Wussy Parker will be voted MILF Performer of the Year anytime soon.
But you are our current leader.
You're our clubhouse leader at the moment. If you know anyone that might give you a run, let us know and we'll put them up to the challenge. In the meantime, mate, appreciate it so much. It's good to talk to you. We look forward to the Big Bash. If you want to follow Gilly on Twitter, follow him at Gilly381 and also on Instagram at Gilly381. Thanks very much, mate.
Good on you, boys. See you later. Full credit to
the boys. So that was Adam Gilchrist, Sid, and we because we promised a bit of a best of, we thought, well, let's go back to the people we have interviewed this year. All of them absolute superstars.
Absolutely.
All of them very, very kind with their time, and we love each and every one of them.
As much as I sucked up to Gilly.
Yeah, that was kind of embarrassing.
All of them are great.
Hopefully the AVO doesn't go for too long. in the meantime, let's look back at, well, first of all, we spoke to Vonnie early in the year and, well, we ended up talking about dicks.
I was so nervous. It was like my first celebrity interview and she talked about dicks. Why was I nervous?
You were aroused by the end of it. Have a listen to this. What superpower would you want, Vonnie?
The power to read what's going on in Freddie's mind. Sometimes I have no idea what he's talking about, and it's only when he stops talking I'm like, okay, I think we're done now. Okay, let's check in with Sportsbet and Joel Kane. Oh, sometimes they, yeah, obviously, like they, there's a lot of stalk chat. They're obsessed with talking about doodles, but they feel like they're doing it. They feel like they're doing it in a really clever, covert way, but it's just really obvious.
Vonnie, probably our fourth member of Full Credit the Boys.
Yes.
She's on quite a lot. Very, very entertaining. Always very generous with her time and a winner of the Golden Sock.
Yes, she appeared again on our Golden Sock Awards show.
And said she was going to wear her Golden Sock to Melbourne Cup festivities as a fascinator.
I've actually seen her up at Oatley Pub wearing her Golden Socks.
Have you?
I have.
And you wear one Golden Sock and nothing else, don't you?
I've been kicked out of there so many times.
So we head off out of Vonnie and we talk to my good mate.
And this is the first time I've ever met Kerry Hemsley. He is a good mate of yours. But this, to me, was like being in the room with Superman and Clark Kent.
I don't know which one I am.
Because a lot of people think that you are Kerry Hemsley.
No, yeah, well, I mean, looks aside, hasn't got a good as mullet as me. But other than that, probably a better bloke.
Oh, he is a good bloke. Yeah. But what about the photos we took? I dead set look like Danny DeVito. You two are giants next to me.
So this is Kerry Hemsley. This is his motorbike helmet story. And this is very funny.
Well, I was going to tell you why, Jake, when I first went to Sydney, when I used to ride the motorbikes. Remember there were no helmet laws?
Yes.
So anyway, I had the biking helmet with the horns on it. So anyway, first day I'm at the El Rancho Hotel up at North Ryde. It's called the El Puncho in the old days. It was a real rough pub. So they've taken me there on a Saturday afternoon for a punt. There's been a big stink and glasses thrown and jaws getting smashed and all that sort of thing. And here I am, the big tough bikey with the biking helmet on. So this old bloke kept checking me out. So after about half an hour, I've walked over and I said, "Hey, what are you looking at, you old prick? You know, being a tough bikey bloke." And he said, "Nothing, mate, nothing." And I said, "Fucking bullshit. You've been checking me out for 30 minutes. What are you looking at?" And he said, "Oh, all right then." He said, "20 years ago, he said, I fucked the cow and I thought you might have been me boy." So I threw the helmet away. Another true story.
Ah, very good. If you haven't heard that episode, go back and have a listen. Listen to a former hard man from the 80s and early 90s. Listen to his stories. And
he doesn't pull any punches.
No, there's not many.
He calls a spade a spade.
Yeah, including journos, everything. Yep. So we go from that front rower to a Queensland front rower who instinctively we didn't want to like, but I know him to be a very, very good man.
Can I say, a lot of people were surprised after they heard this interview, what a top bloke. He is.
Yeah, he's a genuinely good fella. This is Nate Miles, and this is his story about Paul Gallen punching him in the face. Let's head back down, and we'll talk about Origin, unfortunately, for us. Mate, you were part of a blue in Origin with Paul Gallen that probably will be the last ever Origin fight. Now, I reckon no one on the face of the earth will be more qualified to answer this next question. Is footy better or worse off with a no-punch rule?
Worse.
Yeah.
Yeah, worse off. You know, as much as I'll probably get fined for saying this, the game of rugby league's turned into we used to have shits and giggles about the way AFL did things, and I understand the NRL's got a job to do with making that game more attractive. But at the same time, if you're going to mouth off, if you're going to throw punch, like niggly stuff and do all that, you've got to be prepared to do it. And I'll be the first to admit, mate, when I mouthed off to Gal, I should have had my hands up. I should have been I should have been ready for something. It just
in hindsight,
it didn't pan out that way. But I also I'm a firm believer, and I'll always say it, what happens in the field stays in the field, and that's how it should be.
Mm-hmm. We spoke to 1980s hard man Kerry Hemsley a couple of weeks ago, and he was of the same opinion, although now he thinks they've got to go the next step and make this antagonising the next big thing to stamp out. Because this is the thing, mate, we've got wingers nose-to-nose with front rowers knowing they're not going to get one on the chops. And
yeah,
as a bloke that doesn't play anymore, there's nothing worse than seeing blokes that you know can't hold their hands up coming in like they're 8 foot tall and bulletproof because they know they're going to get a clipping.
Yeah, oh, for sure. It allows people to push the boundaries a lot more, and no doubt there tends to be the common denominator in most of the infringements around that sort of shit. But yeah, like I said, mate, if you're willing to mouth off, you've got to be ready to take what it gets. And at that time, I wasn't, and I truly regret that because it probably has scarred the game. And
has he got a good ride on him?
Oh, he's got a good right and left. I think he's got three before I realise. But yeah, like I said, it's silly of me to put myself in that position, and now the game looks uglier for it. I do have something else to say on that too. There's a couple of wingers I would hate to fight too.
Yeah.
So
give us a couple of
if you get Marnie Vadavai running in and roughing your head up, you let him rough your head up.
Yeah, he's not the standard bloke that stands outside the touch judge, but let's be honest.
Vadavai, Normie Dorrell, these big name, big wingers.
Sid.
Yes.
At the very beginning of the year, if I'd have said to you, Nate Miles is going to come on our show, what odds would you have given me?
Oh, thousands.
And what if I said, Nate Miles is going to come on our show and he's an A-grade bloke?
Tens of thousands.
Sid's rough punts, I believe, that qualifies for.
That was a winner because he did both. Yeah, he's a good bloke.
Very
and
good
he came
bloke.
On the show.
In the meantime, this has been our best of interviews episode, including Adam Gilchrist.
Uh-huh.
I know you've still got a little bit of a chubby downstairs on
that. Oh, mate, that's tick that off the bucket list.
I've never seen a bloke have a smoke straight after an interview, but you did. We'll head out on this final interview from Brian Fletcher. You could listen to this whole interview and get 20 different highlights out of it.
Yeah.
Very, very funny, man. Go back and listen to this. You'll enjoy it heaps, especially over the Christmas break. In the meantime, we've got one more show.
One more show.
The Christmas Drunk Show.
Yes.
Where we will, all three of us, be live in the studio.
First time ever.
With many cans.
Yes.
So
that should be interesting.
Hang around for that. Yeah,
that won't appear in next year's Best Of.
Let's apologise for that in advance. And anyone who's got to this point in the podcast, if you want to hear about Sid's sister and a world-famous cricketer, tweet him. Let's just see who listens to this far in, Sid.
Yeah, let's see. Out of my 80 followers.
However, have a listen to Brian Fletcher in the meantime. Hey, speaking of Origin, we're talking recently to Nate Miles about bus trips up Caxton Road and everything else, but what happened with your bus trip after an Origin one time where you commandeered a bus?
Okay, so these are the days of the bonding sessions, and
rest in peace.
God, I know, they were good. This is where I've just been kicked out of the Coogee Bay again for the 50th time that season. And what was me, Ben Kennedy, Nikki Kosef, and I don't know how this bloke ended up with us, but it was Brett Camorley.
Oh,
so it was three A-graders and Brett Camorley. And we couldn't get a cab. Could not get a cab. So the 378 or the 387, the guy just happened to be standing. And I said, mate, can we get a lift up to the cross? And he was a Bangladeshian fellow, so his English wasn't too great. He let us in. He let us in, and I said, mate, are you out? We'll pay. So we said, look, we can't get a cab. Would you take us up to the cross? So he said, no problem. So he took us up to the cross, and I was living at Clovelly at the time in the cul-de-sac.
Yeah.
I said, mate, we only had shorts on. I said, we've got to go get some jeans. So we all went to my joint and got some jeans. I had to cut some jeans in half for Noddy, but we ended up all Tim Sheens up the cross. Anyway, he's parked near the fountain, mounted the curb, and, you know, we were singing and carrying on, and we got him inside. We said, come on, just come for a beer. So remember that the old days they used to have that little brown coin holder, that little brown little
yes,
thing
I
that
do.
Used to stay
yes.
on the. Well, he grabbed that, and he took that in. So we were buying him drinks, and the bus was left there. And the last thing I remember is he was up there talking to a lady of the night out the front. So I think that the state rail authority or the state bus transit authority were a bit light that week.
Know what you're doing with me.